Hello. Welcome to the Read Pod. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please subscribe to us via iTunes and you can check us out at thereadpod.com. Thanks for listening.
Hello and hello, Bennett.
Hey, mate.
Oh, just you. I feel like I brought it in really high.
And I just dropped it really low, huh?
Just dropped it really deep and almost depressing. your deep tones.
Yeah, I try, hey.
Jeez. How's it going?
Good, man. Day off. Just doing what I do, which is today, not much.
Nice, nice. Well, we're going to do a pod today on a heap of different stuff. We're going to sort of do a weekly recap of news, and then we're going to touch on a few other sort of lighthearted stuff at the end, such as the new wave pool that's been built in North Queensland. Soren and I did a pod on Friday or Saturday. Really good one. And it went into aliens. It just went crazy.
Oh, nice.
And he also started a little bit of pod beef with you.
Oh, that's a bit rude.
Yeah, into pod beef.
Into pod beef. Jesus Christ.
So
I thought we were a team here.
We are a team, but I was sort of encouraging it, to be honest. And anyway, after him doing that, the sound was completely fucked at the end of it. Excuse my language, but it was just ruined and we can't even publish it.
Oh, that's terrible. So what was the cause of that?
Just the app and the whole sound recording and the fact that I don't really know what I'm doing when it comes to editing sound.
Yeah, it's probably a bit of karma for him talking shit about me.
I feel like he deserved it.
Always.
Yeah. So it's been a pretty mad week / couple of days with the synagogue shooting.
Yeah.
Another one for America in Pittsburgh. And also these pipe bombs that have been sent to 13 people, Trump critics and Democratic senators. We're going to start off with a synagogue shooting just because this is just a recurring thing. They're averaging now a mass shooting every day in the US, and a mass shooting equates to four or more people killed at one time.
Wow.
The man that they believe that did this is a 40-year-old man, I think, Mr. Bowers. He was armed with an AR-15 rifle and three handguns. Google an AR-15 rifle and tell me whether that should be sold.
Yeah, just sounds like it shouldn't be sold.
And he told an officer while he was being treated for his injuries that he wanted all Jews to die and also that they were committing genocide to his people.
Hmm.
We're not too sure who his people are, but this is another tragic event. That just, it's getting to the point where I feel it's numb.
Mm. So it's where are you safe? Like that's always the idea is that you should be safe in these kind of areas. And it was a naming, baby naming, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, look, all of the dead, the people that have passed away, they were all elderly. Majority of them are elderly. And it's just a tragic terrorist attack committed by an American on American soil against other Americans.
Yeah, and that's the key. It's Americans and other Americans.
It's scary and it's... over the weekend, I was going through a massive deep dive, sort of with the pipe bombing, which we'll get to. But I really started looking into what's trying to understand, get my head around what could potentially be happening in the US and why this is not stopping, because it's got to be bigger than just their belief in their constitutional right to bear arms. There has to be something deeper than that. And then I started looking. So there's 267 million guns in the US right now.
So how many people live in the US?
So it's probably 300-400.
Okay.
So that's not including ammo, obviously. So each gun could have, you know, 200 cases of ammo. And you've got to realize that an event like this, where one person killed 11 people, the Las Vegas shooting where the man shot a number of people allegedly, a single weapon can take out a lot of people.
Yeah, especially if they're automatic.
Especially if they're automatic. Now, I don't want to get too conspiracy deep on you, but who is benefiting right now from the sale and the mass deaths by guns in the US?
Well, it's kind of a vicious cycle in regards to something like this happens. So obviously, I don't know enough in regards to the taxes or whatnot is associated with gun sales and with ammunition. But my first thought is that an event like this happens, then people again, once again, they think, oh, well, now we need to protect ourselves. So it's just another cycle. More and more people are, you know, it's got that, there's that thought that you need to protect yourself. So it's just encouraging more guns. Would you think?
Yes, I think that's right. But I also think there's something more sinister here.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what I'm getting to. I can't help but think the government over there or the establishment or whoever's running the government over there is pushing for a civil war.
Okay.
And I know that sounds really far-fetched probably to some. I can't understand why you would arm your entire society when global population and global leaders in other countries are showing the reasons for bringing tighter gun laws and bringing gun restraints back. The money is shown not to be in gun sales anymore, and the profiting is not even in those industries anymore. It's moved into tech and whatever else. So the gun industry isn't even a leading industry anymore. I believe that this is, and this is going to make me somewhat, people think I'm crazy, but I believe that they're pushing towards a civil war, and which could eventually lead to the army somehow getting involved.
Okay. Then you're starting to really dive into a lot of fucking shit that can come out of that.
Why else would every time they have a mass shooting, why else are they letting this continue?
I don't know. Yeah. It's the answer that would, for many people that don't live in America, it's why. No one knows why they're continuing to do it. So there's got to be something deeper, like you say.
There has to be something deeper, and there has to be an ulterior motive as to, and it can't just be the money from the gun industry.
Yeah.
Because I've looked at the numbers from the gun industry and the money's not there anymore. So back in the day, obviously, it's the same with like coal and cars in Detroit, like Ford in Detroit. Like those industries were killing it and they were doing extremely well and they were leading. The gun industry isn't, sales aren't what they were. The money isn't what it was. It's not the powerful industry that it really was for a long time. And I just think there's so much propaganda about how these shootings take place, why they were resulted. I just don't believe it anymore. I'm at the point where I just think they're smart enough people. I don't believe the citizens. I think the majority of the citizens of the US understand that this is a huge problem. but they still make it so relaxed for people to purchase and buy guns.
And this would have to be the problem with how the US government and the Constitution set up, that although they're a democratic nation, there's not really much say for the average person in regards to whether there's guns being sold, is there?
No. And I mean, you can still have the right to bear arms, but that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be a strict, strict, long process for you to wait to get a gun.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean that, like, okay, so you want a gun today, you should be able to walk into the shop and walk out with one. That's just fucking stupid.
Mm.
So, yeah, this is pretty tragic, this death. It sounds like the shooter, Robert Bowers, has been named, according to ABC News, and he has something against Jews, which is just tragic. And he was raging against invaders. A social media post by Mr. Bowers on Saturday morning said a Jewish refugees organization, the Hebrew Immigration Aid Society, likes to bring invaders in that kill our people. I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in. I mean,
there's some big warning signs. And why isn't this in an age where this is public knowledge, isn't it?
This is public. This is all public knowledge.
So why aren't they onto him knowing that? But there's nothing they can do, is there?
There's nothing that they can do. But then I sit there and I read that and I think everyone's got the internet, right? Yeah, he would have the internet. There is no invaders that the Jewish people are coming in and killing everyone. It's American on American.
Mm.
Like, it's not a Hebrew conspiracy here. Like, it's American on American that are killing people in the country.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs, isn't it?
It is very sad. I'm at the point where I just don't believe what we're getting told and how we're getting it communicated to us. And I think the guns is part of something bigger. I've thought for a long time that they want a civil war, or that they're leading towards a civil war in the country. I mean, you've got to think, so more than every second person has weapons.
Yeah.
Right? Has weapons that could walk out, you could get your whole street and you could start a war. Like, they could easily have a civil war.
Yeah.
The pay gap, the living conditions, the gap between the wealthy and the poor, the health system, it's all leading up to people that shouldn't have to deal with it. Mm. and would be very unhappy.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know an American's thoughts on this and see what they're actually feeling at this time. So we can look into it, but it'd be interesting to see what it's like looking out and being in it.
Yeah, agreed. But is there any other thought than that this wouldn't have happened without an AK? What sort of weapon was it? AK or whatever gun it was, like.
So you're saying if there wasn't AR availability, 15? Yeah. So
and three handguns, like if he didn't have an AR-15, this bloody pathetic man wouldn't have been able to get in there and do anything.
Yeah. So it's and going on to what we want to talk about with the pipe bomb stuff as well, and the link between it. Both these people are quite outspoken in what they're saying. So the flags are up, but because there's so many people to watch and so many people like this with the having the access to guns, it's who do you look at, who don't you look at? So you're looking at the whole country.
You're looking at the whole country, and Mr. Trump said later that the killings might have been prevented if there had been an armed guard in the building. If they had some kind of protection inside the temple, maybe it could have been a much more different situation. They didn't. So he's debunking any link to gun laws.
Yeah.
Which, so you can go on and you can keep believing this. Like, you can keep reading that and saying, okay, oh, he's just evil. Like, why does he not think that they should get rid of guns? Like, how stupid is it to think a guard would have been able to do anything if a guy walked in with three guns and whatever else? Like, there's got to be more to it.
Yeah, that's not the answer.
It's not only the not the answer, but what I'm saying is I don't believe that he is. I don't believe that he is even trying to push a narrative. I mean, it's sort of hard to explain, but I just don't believe that he is. Yeah, it's hard to explain. I don't even think he's. I think there's something bigger that's trying to basically create this scare and this fear campaign, and he's just supporting it.
Yeah. So I don't. Here we don't actually. I mentioned this to you before. Where I'm pretty sheltered from what's going on unless I jump on the computer and really have a look.
Yeah.
We don't really. There's not too much reported outside of Japan.
So in Japan, can you even get a gun?
You can, but the screening process is crazy. So
it's sort of like Australia.
10 times harder.
Okay, so...
So from memory, your application, you've got to go through, have a mental health check as well is part of the application. You got to say why you need, what's the reasoning for having a gun?
Okay. So let's look at Japan's gun stats for people that question whether the supply of guns has anything to do with the amount of deaths. Japan has 127 million people and it rarely sees more than 10 deaths per year from guns.
Mm.
10 deaths per year.
The one thing to note there, there's still some fucking crazy shit here in regards to stabbings and stuff. Like, I think it was probably 6 months ago, a guy, and he killed, I think he killed maybe one or two people on the Shinkansen. Just unprovoked, just crazy, just... walked up to people, started stabbing on a moving train.
Jeez.
But in saying that, it's terrible for what it is that one or two, if that was a gun, that's whole, you're talking about hundreds of people that could have been killed.
Exactly.
So I think, yeah, so those 10 deaths are probably something to do with Yakuza and organized crime as well. So it's not very common. It's so safe here.
Yes.
However, last night, and I saw this on the news this morning and I was asking Sarah what was going on. There was a bit of craziness in Tokyo with a Halloween party.
Yeah.
On the street. So there was almost a little riot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Which was
as long as no one's injured.
No one's injured, but they flipped a few cars and jumping on roofs and fighting and all that kind of stuff. But that's the craziness. That's the main story on the news.
Yeah.
So there's a good way to put it into perspective.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot to be learned from countries like this. I think Australia did the right thing. We've mentioned this in a pod before. Whatever the motives for doing it, whatever conspiracies behind how it was done, it was done and we're a lot safer in that regard in Australia.
Yeah.
Mm.
So this obviously, this synagogue shooting obviously followed the pipe bomb attacks, which were made on several critics to Trump, including Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and Robert De Niro was in there as well.
Wow.
Because he's really outspoken against Trump.
Yep.
And who was this done by? Give me a little bit of information. It was
done by Cesar Sayoc, 56 years old, of Ventura, charged with 5 federal criminal offences. Attorney General Sessions says Sayoc appears to be partisan. There's reports that he was a former wrestler and cage fighter, has an extensive arrest record. But I also read somewhere that it's said that he had a picture, a sticker of supporting Trump on his car, which to me sounds a little bit too convenient.
Yeah, I pulled up a picture of his car and it's covered in stickers supporting Trump.
Okay. So what was it? Caesar?
Sayoc.
Sayoc car.
So he's in a white van and all the windows are covered with Trump.
Oh, yeah.
And Republican.
Yep. Everywhere. Yeah, so this is just another concerning thing where, I mean, you got bombs being sent. Strangely, none of them went off.
Mm.
What does that sort of tell you, that 13 bombs were sent and not one of them goes off?
Were they bombs?
Yeah. Were they bombs?
Or was he just didn't know how to make it properly, but... What's really going on here? Is this just to get it in the, get something in the news to?
So it goes to Hillary, it goes to Obama, CNN, who have been critical of Trump, and then it has a guy who they find his van as soon as it's done with Trump stickers all over it. Not one of the bombs go off.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
It definitely makes you think. And either way, it's tragic and it's a scary world. But I just wonder, it's strange how a guy can make pipe bombs in this country and get away with it, send out 13 packages through the mail. None of them goes off. No one's harmed yet. We know everything about it. And obviously what this paints is that Trump's encouraging terrorism and violence in the country. And it's concerning.
Yeah, definitely concerning. So I know that you mentioned it a few years ago. We've talked and you said you were interested in doing business in the States, and all that's changed, I'd say, in the last few years.
Oh, massively, massively. And me and Soren touched on this recently, and it's not that we're hating, like we love the US. Our culture follows everything that the US does, and there is so much greatness about it. We're big fans of it. But the way things are going with the media and the fear that is going on in that country, it's got to a point where you just can't justify going over there with a family.
Mm. Yeah, way too worrying. It's that absolute small minority, but there's still that element of risk.
Definitely. There's a huge element of risk, I feel.
Yeah.
And it's also the government. How much do you trust the government? Do the police support the government? Does the army support the government? Like, everyone's against everyone. And you're at the point where, like, forget what's happening in Saudi Arabia and all of those countries, like with the journalists getting shot in the consulate and things like that. Like, this is pipe bombs getting sent to an ex-president and an ex-presidential candidate to a media station. Like, this is happening at home. You can't it's very strange. It's a very strange world.
Yeah, 100%. It's, it makes you think, like, I don't know how far – so they were sent. Were they received? Like, where did they get to? Did they just get to the post office and then – they were discovered, or
I'm not sure.
It doesn't really give you too much information, because you've got to think these are very high profile people. You've got, like you said, politicians, actors, news outlets. There'd be something wrong if they were kind of getting through.
Exactly. So what I think is, I think you can't deny that Trump spills hate and he spills diversity. He's splitting the country in half, and he has hateful speech and things that he's done, and he's definitely not a true sort of good representation of someone who should lead your country. Hillary Clinton, though, has got her own massive issues.
Mm.
It's come out and it's pretty much proved that Hillary wiretapped Trump. Which is completely illegal. Like, it's come out that she worked with, like, underhanded people, like potentially Russia or whatever else. Like, it's come out, all of that sort of stuff has come out, and she spied on people.
Yeah.
Like, there's documents that show she did it.
Yeah, it's proven. It's fact. And
it's fact. So when something like this happens and we've got a pipe bombing by someone who looks like they're Trump and there's actors involved who I don't fucking trust at all, I've got to step back and think, do I believe it?
Yeah. And what's the whole purpose? And they go, well, let's think of the name of the country, United States.
Yeah.
It's not united when this is happening. There's such a divide, and you touched on it with the divide between rich and poor, the divide between how people are becoming so far left and so far right, that it's not being helped by these figures that are running the country.
No. And it's just continuing to divide.
Yeah. And the split is getting bigger.
It is. And it's just trying to work out what the motives are behind it all. Obviously, there's two parties, right? But there must be something greater than that, without getting full conspiracy. But, like, it can't just be that Trump is doing this. This is what I think about regularly. Like, he can't be just upholding these gun laws where people die every single day just for his own benefit, because there is no benefit to him.
Yeah, so who is benefiting? Who is...
That's what I'm saying. And he can't be that stupid. There's no way, because, yes, he's a dumb shit, but there's no way he can sit there today and go, that's the whole thing with the security guard comment. Like, to me, it's just so naive to think that that's all there is to it.
Yeah, and now you're expecting just some stupid comment to come out of his mouth that kind of everyone goes, they have to think, what the fuck's he talking about? And then it kind of diverts it away, because you think of how bad his response to the issue is.
Exactly. And there's no – so there must be – so it's not the guns. It's not the money being made from the guns. The NRA aren't making much money. So – and it can't be that he likes seeing people dying. That's – he's not – you know, he's not a warmonger. Like, he's not that bad, surely. So it has to be, in my opinion, they want chaos. And there is a greater initiative going on here. And there is a greater reason why the Republicans or whatever else are pushing this gun thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the other thing is let's not forget, Obama fucking did not do anything to really curb the gun laws at all, despite him living in a city. And this has got to tell you something else as well. He didn't do anything. So there has to be a bigger motive here.
Yeah. And it goes back. So... And you mentioned it. Who benefits from this chaos? Is it the rich? It's definitely not
rich. Definitely not the poor. And who gets control out of it?
Yeah.
So what would happen, right? So if you got to look at it, right? So if, and we're being hypothetical here, but let's say 267. Let's say with 267 million people, say 200 million people have got guns, or 267 million people have got guns, they take to the streets and they start overthrowing the police, which that's the masses. They could easily overthrow the police in 12 hours, okay? So if a large portion of them went out of their houses and started overthrowing the police with that sort of weaponry, could easily do it. So the next step would be is to bring in the army. Okay, so that would mean that the government would have to appoint the army to come in and start basically controlling the society. Maybe there is something to that. I don't know.
Yeah, and what does control bring? So
exactly.
That's the question that I guess you're asking.
Exactly. So, and that's how I see it playing out. I don't, you've got your medicate, the whole society, they've medicated the society. Like, you're killing your people. You're essentially, as a government, you're killing your people. So you're medicating them, which there's no question that they have for years, and they're arming them with weaponry to kill each other. That in the event, blood starts spilling over and people say enough is enough, it's just going to take one of these, like you would have thought the school shootings were enough. This is the other weird thing is you would have thought like, you know, school shootings would be enough for someone to be like, okay, enough's enough. Let's start rebelling against the government. Let's create an uprising and start going against the government. But there hasn't been any tipping point where people, like the masses trying to overthrow the government, like the LA riots, like, you know, all different times in history.
Yeah.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah, but this is the norm though, isn't it? Oh, wake up. Okay, that's happened again. So people get on and people are, I think now people are, I guess, being able to be express their opinions and their thoughts on social media and through that outlet, people think, oh, if I do it like that, people say it, but it's not doing anything.
No. It's doing, writing a post on social media or doing a podcast or whatever else is not, it's not making change.
Yeah.
It's not pushing change. You've still got like, even guys like Joe Rogan and all that, they're still like proponents of guns.
Yeah. And it, there's no,
so yeah. you've got a guy like that, right? So let's say Joe Rogan, who people feel like has a very wide view of the world and life, and is speaks, he's not like, he's pretty bipartite, like he goes either side, would you say?
Yeah, he's a mediator in a sense.
So how can someone like that be so stupid on a singular issue like this?
Yeah, it was interesting. He had Ted Nugent on there a while ago and talking to him about guns, and there's no, he's getting both sides of the story, and it, for him, I guess to go one way would be detrimental to what he's doing. So what will he gain out of it? And I think everyone now is, oh, well, what will I gain out of opposing something?
Exactly.
Is there any personal gain? And people are becoming inherently lazy that they're not, that the society we live in, that they're sitting in their house and saying what they think, but they won't go out and do it.
So you're exactly right. And that's the problem with celebrity nowadays. And when we did our podcast with Muhammad Ali, Muhammad Ali as the GOAT, I feel not one celebrity or sports star has the balls to try and lose everything to stand up on an issue like this.
Because they've got too much to lose. And I was going on to something, this is a kind of on topic, but I was reading an article yesterday, and it was about a famous actress in China, and she's the highest paid actress in China.
Yeah. What's her name?
Fan Bingbing.
Yeah. And she's been missing.
She was missing from the 1st of July to the 3rd of October. And this was, she wasn't outspoken, but she was gaining too much control. And then she was missing, and we could probably do a whole conspiracy on what happened there. But there was hints that she wasn't, she was evading the taxes, and the government just said, nah, okay. And then she had to come out and publicly pretty much apologize, saying that the Chinese Communist Party is the best, blah, 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 blah. And she came out and did that at the start of October. And that was the first anyone had heard of her.
Oh, so I haven't heard of her since she's come back out.
Yeah. And that was just via a website or via their, I don't know what the Chinese social media is, because they've got their own social media.
Yeah. I mean, okay. And China gets criticized quite heavily for that. But anyone that thinks Facebook or Snapchat is not run by the government are fucking stupid.
Mm.
Like, if they don't think they're not paying Google for information and they're not paying Snapchat for information on your face and all that, and Facebook information on where you're living and whatever else, you're just stupid. It's the same, and it's easy to go and look at China and go, oh, China's doing this and they're trying to video everyone. Like, there was this big thing about China surveillance recently. Did you hear about that?
Yeah. So, and this goes back to her. So they have a social responsibility of how they're perceived by the government and what good they're doing to, and she was rated at 0% at the time she went missing.
Jeez.
So, everyone's so, being rated.
Everyone's been rated, but in the West and in America and Australia, we're handing it over to them. That's the only difference. So we're placing our pictures on Snapchat and Facebook of where we are, what we're doing, what we believe in, what groups we follow. It's all there already for them. It's exactly the same. It's just that the government's not blatantly saying they're doing it.
Mm.
And we're just handing it over for nothing.
Yeah,
for free.
We're stupid enough to go, as soon as you put something on the internet, we've lost ownership of it. So whatever you put on there is public information. You might say that you think you've got your security controls in check or whatnot. Look, anyone can get whatever they want on you.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that is an interesting case. But, you know, yeah, as I go back to, there's missing people all the time in like, and yeah, so it's the government. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot going on. So that was sort of our – anything else you wanted to touch on that's happened last week? And
yeah, in that only the – I guess the – to not really anything to do with that, the sadness of the helicopter crash I mentioned to you off the pod. And that was the owner, the Thai billionaire owner of Leicester City.
Yeah.
Which is just after the game at their stadium, just near their stadium, helicopter crash, 5 people on board, and yeah, tragedy.
Absolute tragedy. And what sort of business was he in Thailand?
Good question. To be a Thai billionaire, I guess it...
Who can Google the quickest?
Yeah, I'm not Googling, but I thought it was some kind of telecommunication, but I might be wrong. I'm probably wrong. Of course I'm wrong.
What is it?
I have no idea. I'm not Googling it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so they said he narrowly avoided as well, like a child care center or a playground or something. Ooh. So the helicopter, yeah, so like they actually did really well to minimize the risk to other people.
Yeah. Because there would have been people everywhere after a game. You've got to think that that's what, 30,000, 40,000 in a stadium.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night in England. Yeah.
So it looks like he was the owner of Duty Free.
Okay. So that's what it was. Yeah, I always think King Power Stadium. So
King Power as well.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to think what King Power was, because that was what the stadium's naming rights was, and that would have been his. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that, because he was apparently they won. They were, what was it, 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, they won the Premier League as the biggest underdog story ever.
Yeah.
And he had a lot to do with it, I believe. Mm. So, yeah, it's a sad day for English football, and something that doesn't happen very often, but it's nothing you can do about it, unfortunately.
Mm.
What else in the world? Anything?
As far as sort of dramatic, you know, like not dramatic, but sort of heavy news, I guess that's it. Soren and I really touched on the Washington Post / Turkish, I believe Turkish journalist that was murdered in the Saudi Arabian consulate.
Yeah.
By potentially the Prince Mohammed. So that's bloody heavy.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Saudi Arabia now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there is. But it's, yeah.
I did see, though, that something came up and it was big oil is staying. They're not worried?
No, I'm sure they're not. I'm sure they're somehow involved in some way. Not in that sort of like singular murder, but I would say they're
pulling a lot of strings.
Yeah. I mean, surely like those sort of businesses. I think the oil thing's a strange thing. Out here we've got Adani Coal still pushing to get their mine. Yeah. Anyone that has looked into Adani, they should do it ASAP. And so basically in central Queensland, we've got the richest source of coking coal in the world. Adani is a Indian mining development company. And they're coming in and basically getting a government subsidy for part of their mine and obviously funding the rest of it themselves. There's a lot of reasons why it shouldn't go ahead. But then I was speaking to a geologist, and he was telling me that the thing is our coal is so much cleaner to burn off. So it's actually going to be better than the coal in India. So if they mine their own coal, it's really dirty and it's bad for the environment. Our coal is basically less dirty. But the thing that I'm thinking is surely we're moving away from having mines and having constant growth in the coal space. So I don't
know. And I think we've definitely talked about this, and which is, I think what is bullshit about Australia with our natural resources, how there's nothing for there's no benefit to the citizens of Australia.
No, none. Other than the fact that we have extremely good healthcare, free healthcare, which is great, and extremely good living conditions as a whole.
Yeah.
But you're right, like no tax breaks. It's like the UAE, none of them pay tax and because they got the oil. Our coal, we've got huge natural resources, but we don't receive any tax breaks. And you look at how large Australia is, and we've only got 25 million people here. And the money that's going offshore, surely
everyone could be living a really, really, really good life in Australia, and unfortunately they're not.
Yeah. And I guess to completely switch it up, but you can go to Stop Adani, I believe, to read more. And that'll tell you a bit more about what Adani are doing in Queensland and what you can do if you want to stop it. Talking in the very similar area in central Queensland, obviously the wave pool, the new latest wave pool by Surf Lakes has been released.
Your thoughts?
Thoughts are it looks amazing. My thoughts are it looks amazing, but my thoughts are can these wave pools sustain any sort of long-term financial stability?
Yeah. So what – when you look at that and what it's doing and you're just seeing and I have no idea, but how much power is being used and what's being used to power this giant plunger, is it worth it? Is it sustainable?
Wave pools as a whole, no. I don't believe it's sustainable. And the reason why I say this is I know how much roughly like a pool costs to run, and like say Wet n Wild or whatever else, like a water park, and the expenses involved with that. Well, then you've got to minimize the demographic. So reduce the demographic to 5% of that, and you've still got similar level costs of running a big facility slash a pool. I don't see the longevity or the money in it.
It's just, I guess it's like the space race, isn't it? Everyone's just trying to get it out there. Now, who's got the best technology?
Everyone's definitely, I think this looks incredible. If anyone wants to look it up, so it's Surf Lakes, if you haven't seen it already. So it's Surf Lakes Wave Pool. It's based in Yeppoon, which is a mining town in Queensland. It's privately funded by individual investors, which means obviously that their cash supply is pretty limited. The Yeppoon pool was always meant to be a prototype, not a commercial site, meaning they built the full-scale system in order to prove its efficiency, not to endure. According to a source within the Surf Lakes camp, a complete concrete job would have costed them $3 million AUD. Rather than copping that sizable sum, Surf Lakes allegedly opted for $1 million option, which led to concrete so thin that it broke beneath surface feet when they entered and exited the pool. At one point on Friday, the slab ripped a hole in the floor and dirt started surfacing from below. In order to fix the problem, Surf Lake stretched a layer of lining over the hole and weighed it down with sandbags. This is clearly not a long-term solution, but a worthy change considering this pool is merely a proof of a concept prototype. What's your thoughts on that?
Interesting. I hadn't heard that before, that they've gone stingy on it. So a lot of the
they'll be raising capital. That's exactly. Basically say they'll be raising capital.
The everything that I've read on it and just people's comments on it was why fucking put out your product that's at 50%? Is it and by what you're saying is that they don't have the money to, they're kind of maxed out. So they need the money coming in. But Kelly didn't show his pool until it was good.
He didn't. Very few have the financial pull like Kelly does though. So these guys, obviously they had an investor day on Sunday at the pool. I mean, as someone that's made some really shitty investments, I can't see where your money is ever going to be in this. Yes, you probably, I guess they might be working towards a patent, which could be something, but I really don't see the money in surfers paying to use these things as a real
earner. Yeah.
I don't, like to the point where I think in 5 years' time, a lot of these will just be bankrupt.
And it's, okay, I had a look at the cost of the surf ranch. Do you know how much it costs to go there? Like if you're on a...
Was it 10,000 a day?
Yeah, 10 grand. So 10 grand, you can go to the Mentawais on a ridiculous boat for 2 weeks, going first class. What would you rather that or a day in a pool for the novelty?
And living like you're exploring the world. I respect what Kelly's done, and I think great. I really admire what he's done, but I think there's a lot of these other ones that it's just, I don't know. I just it's losing its interest to me.
Yeah. Well, the idea of it. Okay. Oh, this is sick. So when are we going to get to try one? Well, have you got the money? There's one place. It's pretty much only the top guys get to ride it, or if you somehow got a connection to him, it's not available to anyone.
No, exactly. And then you look at like stuff like the WSL's not making money as well. The whole industry at the moment is there's not much foresight in this. Like I get it being amazing to ride pool. surf in a pool. Everyone's dreamt of a perfect wave, like a manufacturing a perfect wave. I've actually surfed the one in Dubai, which was made for one of the Emirati's sons.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I surfed it when maybe 3 years ago. Nice. So it's out in the desert. You drive about an hour and a half, I want to say, outside of Dubai, and it's crazy. It's crazy to look at, and it's really, really fun. Like, by the end of it, you felt like you would get really good at surfing by the end of it. So yeah, it is good, but I just think a lot of this other stuff, I mean, in Australia as well, like them building it in Australia, like honestly, I just don't feel like the market's gonna, at the cost that it's gonna cost to go in, I don't think it's gonna be
and
there.
To go somewhere that's so far away from any surfable coastline, people have to go there.
Surely they're not gonna leave it in Yeppoon though, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
No, I heard they were going to move it to Pimpamar, which is just north of the Gold Coast, which would make sense. But
it just doesn't, as a business model, I don't see it surviving. You look at the one in, like you said, in Dubai, that's not a business model. That was built for someone that's got fucking a bottomless pit.
Exactly, like super rich kid. And you just go there and you get it goes like three waves every 10 minutes and you just wait for it and you get it and off you go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd love to have a go. I like the idea of it, like that, how they've got the five different waves or whatever. But yeah, you saw the footage of one, I think it was Parker, and he couldn't even get to his feet.
Yeah, was that Parker?
Oh, I think so, but maybe not. Someone couldn't get to their. Mm. They got to their feet, but they couldn't make the barrel. If the best surfer one of the best surfers in the world can't do that, fuck! What hope do we have?
Oh, exactly. That's exactly right. Not a lot. So, I mean, I think it's awesome that they're doing it, and exciting that they're doing these sort of things, but I just wonder where it's going because it's obviously not built for any of us at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. We can probably leave that and hopefully we see something to dismiss what we have to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if they fly us out there, yeah, we'll change.
Exactly.
Change our view.
Yeah. Looks like Parker that couldn't do it. Yeah. We'll change our change. Full on slab though. That one that he did. If that was 2 foot bigger, double the size, it'd be the best thing ever. It looks like it'd be like,
which they're that's what they're saying. It would be
like Little Shark Island.
Yeah, they're saying it'll be a bit bigger. So, I guess we'll just wait and see and play it. Wait to see how it plays out.
We'll come back to this one.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else?
Not
mate,
much.
You wanted to add?
Not much. I got a pretty easy week ahead of me. Pretty nice. Good playing golf with one of my clients on Thursday, which should be interesting.
Fantastic. A bit of golf action.
I haven't had a game for a while, so yeah.
Great. I'll
tell you how shit I hit it.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to hearing that. And we got a lot of exciting things coming up on the pod. We're going to get a few guests, which is going to be exciting.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely mix it up and just get a few interesting people on board, which is going to be good. So a bit of growth and yeah, that's pretty much it. Try to do another pod with Soren during the week and obviously catch up with you on Friday and upload another one.
Sounds good, mate. Well, thanks for the talk.
No worries, buddy. Well, thanks for listening, everyone, and we appreciate you subscribing. Hit us up on iTunes, Spotify, everything else. All right.
See you, buddy.
Cheers, bye. Buddy. Bye.